being content with Christ at Christmas. And I was conflicted this week because I did want to preach on the birth of Christ. And yet I wanted to continue through Philippians. And I felt a necessity to preach on us as being Christians, being people who are content with what God has given us. So I decided instead of doing one or the other, that I would do all of them. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not doing the full thing for each and any of them. But I wanted to start out in Luke chapter 2 with that wonderful birth narrative. I think it's important at this time of year to look at this and give it consideration. So turn there, I'll be reading from the ESV this morning. And it says, in those days the decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news and of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. When the angel went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. And then it goes on. And I preached from this passage before. I don't know if it was last year or the year before. I love the story. But that's the beginning. And that's what this season of the year, what so many people are, as Christians anyway, we should be giving consideration to the birth of Christ. Now, most of us know historically that the time of year is wrong. But nobody actually knows exactly when it was, although there have been many books written on that. But now it's like in some of the TV shows, I like to do that screeching thing and then fast forward through the life of Christ, through his growing years, through his years of ministry, through that time of him going to the cross and dying on the cross for our sins, and his resurrection and ascension into heaven, and then sending the Holy Spirit to be with his apostles. And then I want to fast forward even a little further to that time where Paul, the man who was a rebel against God, in this sense that he hated the Christians and he persecuted the Christians, now makes deep claims for Christ. And so now we're going to go to Philippians chapter 3. And we're only going to look at the first 11 verses there, and I'm not going to do an in-depth study on this either. But I want you to see, because we went from this wonderful moment where the shepherds were out in the field and the angel of God and the host of heaven is singing praises to God and they're going back and they're rejoicing. Everything is well and good. And then many years later, this has taken place. And Paul now, if you remember in this last chapter, he talked about us being lights in the world in chapter 2. And Christ's example in humility that we should see. And then he talks about these two young men we looked at last week, Timothy and Epaphroditus. And now he says, finally, brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write these same things to you is no trouble to me and is safe for you. Look out for the dogs. Look out for the evildoers. Look out for those who mutilate the flesh. For we are the real circumcision who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh, though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh also. If anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. But whatever gain I had, I count as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For this sake I have suffered. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and counted them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may obtain the resurrection from the dead. That's a whole together different story that we see at that point. Again, glorying and rejoicing also in what God was doing, but from a different perspective. And Paul is speaking very much here, telling them, look out or beware. And he says this three times, of these dogs, of these evildoers, giving them strong warning. And whenever you see anything twice, I've told you in the Bible, that means pay real close attention. When it says the same thing three times, it's really saying, listen to this. It's important for you. And remembering what was happening with the Judaizers at this point. But Paul, what I want to emphasize here, counts all of the things that were once important. The same things that these people are proclaiming as absolute necessities. He's saying, all this is rubbish. I count all that I had before is rubbish. And not only the things of the world, but the things of my great religion that I held so dearly, it's all rubbish compared to the glory we have in Christ. And so I'd like for us this morning to see how our own understanding of the things of God and the joys that we find in Christ, or the joys that we should find in Christ, should be especially apparent at this time of year when many Christians are giving their own praise for the birth of Christ, but at the same time, much of their attention, sometimes too much, is focused on the celebration rather than the one whom we are celebrating. Oh, I was reminded. I needed children to draw me a picture. But I would like you children to draw me a picture today of is Christ being born in the manger. And right next to it is a two-part picture. I want you to draw me a picture of what you want for Christmas and what you think you should want for Christmas. Thank you for that reminder. Now, let me get back to this. We are focused sometimes too much on the celebration of a day, of a season, than we are the one whom we should be celebrating. I remind you that in the Reformed churches, after the break from the Catholic Church, the Reformers had nothing to do with any of these holidays. And so I don't want to go into a great deal of stuff with that, and many today still don't. And many Reformed people today do. And I don't want to get into that debate this morning. But I want to recognize that there is a necessity of us acknowledging where do we stand and how do we act. We are sadly too often guilty of wishing and planning for what we might be getting. Even people who don't celebrate sometimes still receive gifts. Then we're more concerned with that than we are for giving thanks for what we already have. And this is where I'm looking at this idea of contentment as Christians. How should we be at this time of year? And especially when we consider the blessings that we've been spoken of twice to this morning already, the blessings that we have in Christ Jesus and the gifts that He, God, has given us that we didn't deserve any of. I've always liked the idea of giving, that it is brought out more clearly at this time of the year. When we see people that give, all the Christians hopefully are giving throughout the year. But there's an emphasis, a greater emphasis brought out at this time of the year. But always at the same time, I want to remind myself and to remind you and others that the greatest gift has already been given. The greatest gift has already been given, and it is something that can keep on being given. God has given us Christ, and we can take Christ to others. It's not like a one-time for one person only gift. It's for all that will hear. Some people I know, because some of you have sat through some of my quote, Christmas or anti-Christmas sermons, think that I'm anti-Christmas. Well, I'm not. I never have been. What I am against is more of what it has become, even in my own lifetime. And all the worldly magic about the season that seems to have entered even into God's church, sadly. And that captures sometimes too much of our attention. While the great blessing of God and the blessings, let me say not blessing, the great blessings of God are often overlooked or just plain missed completely. Sadly to say, and everybody knows it, even everybody in churches, that Christmas morning or the Christmas services are more attended than any other time of the year. There are many people who take upon themselves the name of Christians, and they go to church twice a year. They go on Christmas and they go on Easter, and they feel that they have done their good and godly duty. And that's sad. It's got to that. I have a problem with that. I really do not have all that much of a problem with non-Christians getting caught up in all the partying and gift-giving and all the rest of what comes with Christmas, except I wish that they would acknowledge that they're not worshiping Christ, or acknowledge they're not celebrating the birth of Christ, because many of them admittedly detest Christ and all the things of His church. And we are, as it would be, Christ in this world.
through the Holy Spirit being in us. They hate it. So just let them take it out. That is, and because all that they know or don't know, they're the only ones that I see with some excuse, because they're just ignorant. I do not even have a problem with Christians celebrating the birth of Christ and Jesus, and the joy that we should have in our considerations of all that God has done on our behalf. But I do want to encourage you this morning not to become so engrossed in the festivities of this season that you forget what the focus should be upon, and how we should be behaving as men and women, and yes, even children of God, as we are seen both by those in our families that don't know Christ, and we are seen by the rest of the world. And if we look exactly like the rest of the world, then there's a problem. If we think exactly like the rest of the world, then there's a problem. I want each one of you, even as we come into this last week before the Christmas day, to truly already be content. To have made up your mind that anything that happens on Christmas Day should not add to your great joy in Christ. That you will already be content, not in the getting of what you might receive from one another or from people in your families, but instead for what you have already received from God and how we can share all those things with others. These are the things that we should be thankful for. These are the things that should allow us to be content. Let me recall what Paul once more, you know, what he had to say here in Philippians 3, but also in these other passages that I have preached at other times. 2 Corinthians 12:9, and you know this passage because many of you have it hanging on your walls because Bonnie, I think, has given it to everybody. It reads there, "And he has said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly I will rather boast about my weaknesses, that the power of Christ might dwell in me. Therefore I am well content." That means well pleased. Not just plain, I am really content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong. I have become foolish, you yourselves compelled me. Actually, I should have been commended by you, for in no respect was I inferior to the most eminent apostles, even though I am a nobody. And then he goes on. But he makes it clear that whatever God has given him, he has learned to be content. And I really want you to be this way at this time of year. Because the sad reality is at Christmas time, there are too many people, as soon as they walk away from all their presents, they go, oh. Or a week later, they go, oh. Because we know that things bring us what? Momentary pleasure. I don't care how expensive that thing is. I don't care how pretty, how much you wanted it, or how long you wanted it. Once you get it, you go, oh, okay. Now what else do I want? This is the sinful part of man. And it's sad. It's reality. But we need to guard ourselves against this. And we need to be able to focus ourselves. If we're really going to say okay to people and they say Merry Christmas to you, if you're going to say Merry Christmas back, then you better have an understanding of what you're saying. You're not saying Happy Present Day. You're not saying, oh, nice tree week. I mean, I don't care if you have a tree, if that helps you. I don't care if you do stack presents up 10 high on your floors. But if you're looking for your contentment, if you're looking for your joy, if you're looking for your peace there, you're going to be sadly disappointed. I say you may be good for a week or two. The high goes down. But we never should lose our joy in the things of God. And this morning I want again to preach to you as it would be a message on this necessity And I say it's a necessity if we're going to be strong and vibrant Christians. So everybody says, I want to be a strong and vibrant Christian. Well, if you want to be a strong and vibrant Christian and have a strong and vibrant church, then we have to have strong and vibrant Christian lives. And if you want to do this, we see the necessity of contentment in the life of the Christian and how that should be a vital means of witness in our lives, both to one another and to the lost in this world. And there's no way of getting around this. It's a necessity for us to be content. And I remind you, although many of your families or even your individual selves may not need this reminder, that how we conduct ourselves in our day-to-day lives, that's every normal day, as I'm saying, not just the holiday season. During this holiday season, it is even, with its even more difficult situations, how we conduct ourselves says so much more than many, many words can say about what we really believe as Reformed men and women in the sovereignty of God. How we say things and how we conduct ourselves. What comes out of our mouth in very casual conversations with our friends, with our families, with the people in our churches, and even at our jobs. These things tell others. They're tells to people. They tell others what we really believe about the many blessings of God that we proclaim we find our delight in, that He has given us. And whether or not we really believe He does have His hands in all that is taking place around us. I find that a lot of people at this time of year find their greatest delight just in stories and movies and hoping to catch a glimpse of the, quote, Christmas spirit. You want to catch a glimpse of the Christmas spirit, you have to read the Word of God. Because the Word of God is about Christ. And the day that we call Christmas, that has become such a big event, it's supposed to be about Christ. It's not supposed to be about all the other things that we've made it about. It's kind of like Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving has become about what? Food and football. But I remind you, the original Thanksgivings were days of fasting. Christmas shouldn't be about just these things. If you want to give away presents or get presents or put up trees or bright lights or all of these different things, I don't see anything said against it. I know that it does talk about special celebrations in churches that I agree with. But we need to guard ourselves about getting caught in what I call a wrong spirit of the holidays, where we become too much like the world. And this last week is the worst week. Because this is when everybody will say, oh, I didn't get, I need to get, I must hurry, I must run around, I must go crazy now. And you see that even the nicest people most of the times of the year, normally at this time of the year, become much shorter tempered. Because we're really all in a hurry. Well, I encourage you, slow down. Take it easy. I listen to different ones of you when I talk with you, and I've mentioned this before, but in a conversation, I will listen to you. And I can actually tell when you are found wanting. In other words, when you're really not happy with what God has done in your life, what He is doing in your life, or in some cases, where you think He's taking you in your life. Do we really trust our God? Do we love our God? Do we believe in Him? Are we finding our delight in this world or the things that it might give us? Or are we finding our great delight in Christ Jesus? The writer of Hebrews has this to say, speaking again on contentment and desire. That your character, Hebrews 13:5, I'm sorry. Let your character be free from the love of money, being content with what you have. For he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. So that we sit confidently, say, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid, what shall men do to me? Remember those who led you and spoke the word of God to you, and consider the results of their conduct, imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and yes, forever. But there's that part there, he says, being content with what you have. Are we there? Really? All right, can you say, honestly, I'm content with what I have? If you have, good. And I hope you can stay that way, because sometimes even these festive holidays can drag us down until all of a sudden we were content with what we had until December the 1st. And now I'm not quite as content as I was. And there was something more. Oh, that's something more if I could have it. But that's not going to bring you the pleasure. Jesus warned the tax collector to be content with their wages. Do not take money from anyone by force or accusing anyone falsely. Be content with what you have. So it's saying there, the job that you have, are you happy with it? Are you content? Let me use the right word there. We may not be happy with it, but are you content? Are we that type of people? In 1 Timothy 6:6, again. But godliness actually is a means of great gain when accompanied by contentment. That's important. When accompanied by contentment. For we have brought nothing in the world and you get to take nothing else. We understand this. Your time is short, and when you leave, you take nothing. You don't even get to take your old body with you. You take nothing out of this world. Where should we find our delight, our pleasure, our joy, our contentment? What we as Christians should be and must be seeking at this time of year, or really any time of the year, can only be found in the Holy Word of God, in the promises that He has already accomplished, and the promises that we yet to wait for. We had a pastor's luncheon this weekend, and we talked much about when the resurrection is seen in its fullness, and we are not just with God in spirit in heaven, but when the second coming takes place, and when we have that new, sinless, perfect body. Oh man, this is where we should be putting our hopes in that. Saying, here's what I want, Lord. I want you to come quickly. You need to be praying that. I'm telling you, if you're praying, slow down, Lord, slow down. That's not what He teaches us in His Word. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Our desire should be to be in the fullness of God, in His presence forevermore. Some of the things that speak what God tells us we should look for, and I'll end with these, are seen here in Psalm 19:9. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true. They are righteous altogether. They are more desirable than gold, yes, than fine gold, sweeter than the honey and the drippings of honeycomb, better than Christmas presents. I just thought I'd add that in there in case you didn't catch that, with the gold and the silver. And then in Proverbs 3:13 it says, how blessed is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. For its profit is better than the profit of silver, and its gain than fine gold. How many of you are hoping and praying that this year you will get wisdom for Christmas? Well, it's not something you can give to one another, really. You may think you're giving wisdom to one another. Wisdom is found here. It's found in this Word. It's something we can all use just a little more of, too, no matter how much God blesses us with. In Proverbs 8:10, take my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than the choicest gold. rather than the best of gold. For wisdom is better than jewels, and all desirable things cannot compare with her. Is God right here? Should that be what we're really seeking? Not only, again, at Christmas time, but throughout the year. But more especially when we say, what do I want? You know, if somebody comes up to you and says, what do you want for Christmas? You should say to the wisdom, I want a better walk with my Lord. I want to draw ever nearer to Christ Jesus. And they'll look at you like, well, what's wrong with you? It's not what's wrong with you, it's what's wrong with them. That would be right with you if these are the things. If somebody said that to you, what do you want for Christmas? Well, don't say, I don't do Christmas. You say, I love some more wisdom of God. I love Him to reveal to me more fully the truths that He's already shown me in the Scripture so that that Word might become yet more again alive to me. That I might be excited about Him. That I might be really saying, oh Lord, do I have to stay here? Can I come and be with you? I want to encourage you. Seek contentment as we come into this celebrating season of Christ being born. So that your heart and your mind are focused upon Christ and what God has done in giving His Son so that we might have life eternal. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you today. We do thank you for the birth of Christ. We thank you for the narratives that we have on this. Not only of the birth narrative of what happened before with Mary, with the angels coming to her and speaking to her of your choice and choosing her to be the mother of Christ, the God-man. Father, we thank you today that you have blessed us with the privilege of being your children. And help us to not be people who are always desiring more and more, but help us be a people that are desiring to find out how we might give that greatest gift of all to others. Help us to have that attitude in us all the time, not just during the later part of December. Father, and help us to be encouraging to those people, especially who go through very depressive times at this time of year, simply because they don't have families, because they don't have anything in many cases. And sometimes they do, and just the time of year makes them sad because it reminds them of something in the past, something that they have longed for, and help us to direct them not to the day that we celebrate the birth of Christ, but to the very person of Christ and the Word of God. And we pray this in His name. Amen.